but you. How's it going, listeners? Welcome to 2013, the first weekly newscast of the new year. This is going to be awesome. We have some breaking news. Yes, for once, we get to break news. It's so big that we had to bring on our senior editor, Jerome Cusson. Jerome, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. We're not going to dilly-dally around. There's going to be no tease. I really wish we had the newsroom theme song. Chris, I'm going to make a music request to play about 30 seconds of that beforehand. Regardless of what you think of the show, I think the music would be appropriate for this podcast. But basically, and essentially what happened is sources have indicated to us at PWP that El Generico, who pretty much, if you're listening to this podcast, you know who he is, you know the companies he's wrestled for. You know what he's meant to independent wrestling. He is signed with WWE. At this point, it's tough to say sort of any details. If we get any details, be sure to follow us. Twitter.com/PWPonderings. That's the place that we're going to break the news. Of course, we'll post stuff on the website. And I'm sure other news outlets are going to start reporting this as well. And they're going to have some details, so we will be sure to give you that information as well. But again, sources have indicated to us that El Generico is now going to be with WWE. So we will see if he's going to the roster, if he's going to FCW, how this is all going to work. But, you know, that's all we know, is that he signed. We don't know where he's going.
Well, we know he signed to WWE, so at least we know that. Anyway, though, but since we didn't get a chance to, you're so rude, Jerome. I want to introduce Matt Gibson, who is a special guest this week. Dez Delgadillo was busy, so he had to take the week off. Well, just the day anyway. So, Matt Gibson, welcome to the weekly newscast. How are you doing? And what are your thoughts on El Generico signing?
Oh, I'm doing great, and I'm proud to be a part of a podcast with such amazing news to come out of it, and Des is missing out on something pretty spectacular here to talk about, so thank you for having me on.
Now, Jerome, I guess, you know, since we wanted to touch upon it, you know, this is big news, not just for the, I believe, the Children's Hospital that El Generico also funds down in Mexico, but this is big news, you know, for across the spectrum of indie wrestling. And, you know, I think you said you wanted to touch on some of the major moments that, you know, and what Generico has meant to professional wrestling in terms of the indie scene. So why don't you start us off and just let us know some of your thoughts on this?
Well, when I think of El Generico, I think of a guy who basically on any card around the world, if El Generico is on it, he's probably had the first or second best match on it. And if he hasn't, then he's either really, really injured or his opponent sucks. That's what it comes down to. El Generico, very simply, is one of the best in the world. This is a guy who can convey so much through his body language. He doesn't even need to talk for you to understand just how good he is. And there are so many moments, almost too many to mention. But when you look at what he's done in Ring of Honor, in Chikara, in PWG, you know, even at CZW and Dragon Gate USA, and even into the international promotion. I mean, this is a guy who's held titles in Russia, in Germany, in Japan. I mean, this guy has literally done it all. And what else could be said? You know, I've seen this guy wrestle live so many times, and it's been an incredible opportunity, an incredible honor. Particularly, probably my favorite match of his was when he wrestled the 1-2-3 Kid at King of Trios Night 3. It was just a special night and a special atmosphere. And regardless of what you think of the WWE product, regardless of what you think of what gimmick he's going to be, that's really not what this is about. As far as I'm concerned, when you go to WWE, you have graduated sort of from this world of independent wrestling into something so much bigger. And if there's regardless of what happens with Generico, I hope that he is able to achieve some level of success on an internationally televised basis. and that when people think of El Generico, whatever connotation he ends up playing in WWE, that they think of one of the best in the world, because it's something that you know and Matt knows and so many others on this website and, you know, within the IWC community. But, you know, I think it's something that everybody else really needs to understand as well.
Yeah, it's just one of those tropes where a lot of people assume that the internet wrestling community agrees on everything, and that is just not true. We all have varying opinions. Sometimes we get into huge arguments about it, but the one thing that I think I could clearly say 99% of the IWC agrees on is that El Generico is a fantastic wrestler, and this is great news for him. You know, I'm proud. I'm happy for him. Matt Gibson, you used to write for our website, and you used to write about Ring of Honor. So clearly you know a lot about El Generico. So what are your thoughts on this, and what did he mean to you, and what did you feel that he meant to indie wrestling as a whole, and just everything El Generico that you could talk about?
Yeah, I mean, without sounding too cliche here, for me, wrestling all started with Rey Mysterio, and the trend continued, discovering Ring of Honor with El Generico. So I credit him 100% for sustaining my interest in Ring of Honor from the very first time I saw it live to the next event and to wanting to keep watching it and sustain my interest for ROH when I stumbled upon it, you know, 5-6 years ago now. So if that doesn't speak volumes, then I don't know what does. But yeah, there's so much to say about El Generico. I mean, my frickin' Twitter handle I just changed to the Ole Matt, so I could go on all day about El Generico, and I have so many great memories live, getting to see him plenty of times, and I'll just take from what Jerome said, really, and apply what my favorite match of his would be, and that's probably Man Up and the Ladder War, first one, and the only reason being because that's also what I credit for sustaining my interest. I guess I'll keep that tagline going in Ring of Honor. Just seeing that for the first time and not even knowing what ROH stood for, just seeing it, and then going out of my way to find the iPay-per-view and actually spend the money on it, all because I saw this guy in a generic looking, you know, quote unquote red mask, who just didn't look like these new WWE guys that were coming out on the scene. And I credit him for everything about him is exactly why I watch professional wrestling. So again, I mean, if these words don't speak volumes, then I don't know what will, because it goes way beyond an appreciation or anything like that for him, because I just credit him as being one of my all-time favorites. Right up there with what some people would say would be Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart for them. So, I guess in a good way, it's great to know that we're going to be able to see him on a national level. Hopefully, sometimes these things don't always pan out, as we know, but, that will allow people to at least, he's got a lot of exposure, as Jerome alluded to, global exposure now. So, but this will just take that to another level, and he's going to get what he deserves and has deserved for a long time now. And, you know, that's not exactly money, but that's the recognition across the industry. And, I think he's going to fit well there too. I don't think that's really, something anybody could argue against, saying that it will be a bad fit or worried about what they would do with him, because how could they not just take current El Generico, place him in this era of WWE right now and make it look great. So.
Well, Matt, just a little bit of background. You're in the Northeast, correct?
Yeah. I live right outside of Toronto, but I have a home in Philadelphia area and also a home out in British Columbia. So I'm always bouncing back and forth.
Well, that's awesome. So between that, you have seen a lot of good wrestling. So, hey, that's pretty awesome. So, yeah, I mean, Matt, obviously, you know, as you said, some really deep-seated you know, in terms of your wrestling fandom is attributed to El Generico. And, you know, I can pretty much say the same thing. So I'm very happy to hear this news. And, Jerome, any last thoughts about this? Because this is pretty big. So,
well, this is huge, and I think there's so many aspects to the story that we are going to get into in future weeks on the newscast, as well as, you know, on our other podcasts. But for right now, I think it's a really good idea to just sort of to take a step back and to reflect on his overall impact. You know, I think there's going to be a ton of time to sort of see what he's going to become in FCW or WWE. You know, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of rumors, a lot of speculation. But I think it's just so important for us to really understand his impact on independent wrestling and just how much he is going to be missed, because he is.
Exactly.
And I think the great irony in all of this is that, you know, guys like – there are certain people in Ring of Honor that are promoted as sort of WWE-style guys, and El Generico got signed before a lot of them. So – I think that sort of it really justifies what Generico is and what the decisions that he's made in the last couple of years, sort of not signing with Ring of Honor. You know, I really think the international exposure and sort of, you know, traveling the world, being his own man, you know, I think that's another one of the reasons that he was able to sort of get this contract. So major props to him. I hope he makes $10 million and can retire wherever El Generico lives.
Yes. You know, I just wanted to throw that out there just because, well, there's probably a lot of you listening to this right now saying, you guys, we could totally discuss about what he's going to do. You know, maybe we just kind of want to hold back on that conversation for right now just because it's so early in this. And, you know, really we know nothing more other than what we were told. So we don't really want to go any farther than that. So, but yeah, that's our thoughts. We're really happy for El Generico, and, you know, we wish him the best, and I think that's the most any of us could say about it. We also, okay, so a lot of news to cover, and obviously this being the first weekly newscast of 2013, no scarcity of stuff to talk about. Jerome, I know that, you know, this was kind of a last-minute decision to have you on the show, but I'm sure, hey, you are a senior editor. You will have some thoughts on some of these topics. The first one I want to touch upon is the Evolve title tournament news. With Evolve, they're going to crown their first champion on April 5th at WrestleCon. It's the Meadowlands Expo Center in Secaucus, New Jersey. I don't know how to say it. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm sure I butchered it. Essentially, the format, though, a little bit of a put-off from some of our readers. They tweeted us saying, why did it have to be put in football format? And, you know, they're words like seeding and wild card, and what does this all mean? So, I wanted to talk about it, kind of break it down. Essentially, all seeds mean is rank. Just every time you see the word seed, it's a rank. The way this will work is, obviously, the participants will be chosen based on the combination of their records and winning percentages, and that's how they get their quote-unquote seed, their rank. It's based on, you know, their wins and losses. It has been told. So just to go off of that, this is the way they announced it in the email newsletter. So I just want to go through that first before I get any thoughts on it. And then we also have some exclusive news on that format as well. So here we go. The Evolve title tournament will closely follow, you know, as we said, the NFL playoff format, which means the first and the second seeds will get byes. There will be two wild card matches. And the winners will be facing the first and second seeds, or the first and, you know, first and second talents. The winners of those two matches will then fight in the finals to determine the first Evolve champion. So it is essentially a tournament. It is also known that it's possible that the lower seeded wildcard match will be a freestyle, which will obviously make getting a higher ranking even more important. As we said before, this is determined by a combination of record winnings and percentages on the Evolve leaderboard, which I have to point out, slightly disappointing that you cannot find this leaderboard, I believe, on the DGUSA.TV website. I looked for it. I could be just an idiot and I didn't find it. But so if it's there, let me know. But I couldn't find it. Anyway, so moving on. A wrestler must have competed on no fewer than 6, and that's 33% of the total Evolve cards to be eligible. And as it is stated, it's just to ensure that the competitor has at least a semi-regular you know, time spent in Evolve. And, of course, the exception, and this is kind of an interesting note, is that the possibility of sending out an international invitation to the tournament. Now, I reached out to Evolve Management, and I asked them for a little bit of clarification on this. And I wanted to point out that I know that some other websites, they're reporting that they're either only going to be six competitors are in the tournament, or that possibly both lower wildcard matches could be freestyles. That is incorrect. Directly from Evolve Management, I got this message that if they did have a freestyle, it will just be one of the wildcard matches. So that in and of itself kind of limits and makes a little bit more important the impact of the records that you have in Evolve. It also kind of points out that there could be more than just six competitors. And when I reached out for a little bit more clarification on it, it was not said to me that the freestyle is necessarily going to just be a four-way freestyle, that it would be a multi-man freestyle. Now, of course, that does include that it could be a four-way, but when I was told by management, they're not limiting themselves to that. So, honestly, we can't even tell how many opponents are going to be in this tournament. And, of course, that international seed really was kind of emphasized to me that there's a chance, and if the right name became available, that that talent, international talent, would be involved in the title tournament. So I think that's kind of the news that we got out of it, and I'm kind of excited for it. So, Jerome, I'm going to go to you first. I know that you haven't, you know, always had, I guess, the greatest thoughts about Evolve, but are you excited now that they are going to have their own title? And then, I guess, any initial thoughts on the description of the title tournament itself?
I mean, if nothing else, I appreciate the fact that Gabe is at least trying something a little bit different. As opposed to the typical tournament, he's going to do something a little bit different. I think that's good. I think to vary it up a little bit with the freestyles, I think it's going to make a difference because the freestyles are usually pretty fun. And if you stick in Rich Swann and AR Fox and people like that, those matches are going to really deliver. I'm not a big fan of the idea of the Evolve title just because Evolve doesn't run very many shows, and DGUSA doesn't really run very many shows, so I think it's going to be tough to have two singles titles for a promotion that really only runs, you know, between 18 and 20 shows a year. I certainly think the Evolve show on April the 5th is going to be a big one. I think it's going to be the biggest Evolve show ever. Yeah, and I think the pressure's on to really deliver an outstanding show for so many people. This may be the very first time they see Evolve, or maybe this is the first time they've seen Evolve in a significant amount of time for whatever reason. So I think it's really important for them to pull out all the stops, and I think this tournament is sort of one way of doing that. And I certainly hope that, you know, Evolve, I think it's Evolve 19 is going to be a really good show, because I think it needs to be. I think they really need to deliver.
They really do. And of course, I know I did a lot of talking there, so a lot of the information will be provided for in the information for this podcast. Hopefully I will be able to translate in a little bit of a simpler form. So Matt, I don't know. I've kind of watched you on Twitter. What are your thoughts on Evolve and their announcement that they're going to have a title tournament?
Yeah, first, I hope everybody caught their breath after that run you gave us with the explanation of the rules. It's crazy, yeah. But as Jerome says, it's creative, and it's always nice to see something different. But Evolve in general, I can't say I'm an Evolve guy, and actually I can't really say I'm that big of a DGUSA guy, since they do obviously bleed into each other. I guess I never did see a need for a title. Also, again, as Jerome said, he basically, has all the same points that I would have. But for a promotion that's running as infrequently as they do, and that's not a negative thing at all. It's just the business side of things for them. And I maybe the best metaphor for this would be, like, I'm a real meat and potatoes kind of guy, and I guess Evolve serves up a lot of these little side dishes. And And that's kind of how I feel about them as a promotion, basically just because of how intertwined it is with Dragon Gate. And I've never really taken a lot of time out of my schedule to follow it, but I've watched numerous shows just out of pure wrestling fandom. And I think, I guess they're 20 in now or 19 in now. And if they're going to keep going with it, then it's probably time for some type of symbolism in the promotion to like a title. I guess that maybe adds more credibility and worthiness to the actual promotion itself, just to have a title. Maybe to separate it from Dragon Gate more. I'm not sure whether, you know, what the direction would really be. I'm not too in the loop with it, as I said. But I think, again, yeah, it's always nice to see something different and creative be put together, even if it seems complicated at first. But obviously, it's targeted, you know, towards the diehards and the hardcore fans that obviously are constantly watching the ball shows, and that's who's going to pick up on this and really study it and understand the framework behind the whole idea, and then enjoy it from there on out. And every wrestling show these days is based on, or it seems with most independent promotions, as long as there's the talent there, the show will be good. Evolve's got talent there. So, yeah, the idea should work for the most part.
Right, and I do want to point out, just for a little bit of clarification there, so if the idea is that only one of the lower wild cards will be a freestyle, then it was emphasized to me that being one of the top four ranked talent would mean something, and that really puts the emphasis on the fact that Evolve, I know a lot of people, you know, have really wanted to see more brought out of the records concept that Evolve keeps, and this is kind of that payoff. The fact that the one and two are getting buys, and then the three and four ranked, you know, they may have to face each other in one of the wildcard matches, but there is an emphasis that, hey, if you're not in the top four, you're going to have to go through a multi-man freestyle match, and that's just going to make it harder. And I think that's really great. I do I share Jerome's thoughts. I think I've made that pretty clear on past newscasts that, you know, if they're going to bring out an Evolve title, you know, hopefully it can be distinct from the Open the Freedom Gate title in DGUSA, but that I just always felt that there just should be one, and that should have been the Open the Freedom Gate title. But it is what it is. I'm happy to see that Gabe is, like Jerome said, trying something new, and it'll be interesting to see where they go with that. The second part of this, there is some, you know, Dragon Gate USA news as well. The first thing we want to point out is that there was another quote-unquote report that Samuel Del Sol and a fake Twitter account created, showing, I believe, an image that he had signed with WWE, and he had a contract in his hand. That's fake, and Samuel Del Sol tweeted that out, that it's false, and you know, he's even gone to the extent to point out to fans that he only has one true Facebook page and one true Twitter, and that's where they should follow him. And so that was kind of sad that, you know, that was put out there. But hey, you know, it happens in this indie wrestling world. But DGUSA, they're coming to my neck of the woods. They're coming to California. They're not coming to the north. They're going to the south in Santa Maria. And it's they've announced some matches, so I just wanted to put this out there as well and maybe get your guys' thoughts. John Morrison, he's going to make his debut against Akira Tozawa. That is January 25th in Santa Maria, California. Added to that event officially are the Young Bucks versus Sammy Callahan and Eric Cannon of Duff. And then Jimmy Susumu and Ryo Sato, the Jimmies, are coming versus Johnny Gargano and Rich Swann. Those both sound like they're going to be, you know, quite fun. I'm really excited to see that. The next night, January 26th, there will be California Independent Talents in a six-way fray, and Brian Cage has been announced. That is in Huntington Park, California. I'm excited for that. I got to interview Brian Cage earlier this year, and that was a lot of fun. And then for the January 27th show, Ryo Sato will be going up against Samuel Del Sol, and that is also in Huntington Park. And, of course, that plays off their exchanges and tag matches at the last DGUSAI pay-per-view. So, Matt, I'm going to go to you first on this. You know, that's a lot of fun. They're coming to California. Obviously, that's quite a distance, so hopefully anyone that is able to make the shows, and I unfortunately won't be, but anyone that can, really, this is a product to check out Matt, are you a little bit higher on the Dragon Gate USA product than you are the Evolve product?
No, not really. It's not just, it's not one of the, companies I try to go out of my way and follow. It's just when I hear about good things, I, make sure to check it out. So yeah, other than obviously, I mean, the card, I would know who everybody was, and I can't say I know any current angles or any current buzz going on within the company, but, the card sounds great, and it's awesome to hear that, that they are making the move and going all the way to California, and maybe they'll turn into you know, the next ROH of, you know, the last whatever 10 years, and actually start to really push things in a whole different direction. Because I think if there's a company out there ready to do that, I mean, you could argue it would be CZW, but based on the stigma, I think, yeah, everybody would say it would be Dragon Gate USA. That'd be the next company to really make that move. So, for any diehard fan of theirs, it's great news. And for anybody in California, that's even better news to be able to see these guys. And yeah, what more can I say than that? It just sounds like a really fun show and good wrestling.
Well, Jerome, I know you're doing a lot of year-end articles for PWP. I'm sure you're going to be covering some of this in there. Your thoughts when you heard the announcement that DGUSA is coming out to California and that John Morrison, of all people, is going to make his debut?
Well, I think for people who think that John Morrison is just coming in to collect a paycheck, well, I'm sure he's doing that pretty handsomely. But, you know, I've seen a couple of John Morrison matches and have been really pleased. So looks like he's one of these guys that, you know, gets brought in and really gives it his all. So. That match with Akira Tozawa really interests me, because this is one of the few times that we're going to get to sort of see WWE style. And I know that Morrison sort of has his own pizzazz, but, you know, it's still WWE style. And we get to see that versus Dragon Gate style. And that is going to be really fascinating to see how these two play off of each other and to see how, you know, these styles clash. Because, you know, even when John Morrison was wrestling Robert Anthony, Robert Anthony is a former WWE developmental guy, so, you know, I'm sure there was some familiarity there, and they were sort of able to play it off a little bit. But, you know, this is Dragon Gate versus WWE, and that makes me really excited. It's a very unique match that very few promotions can deliver upon, and, you know, that's what I think the motif of any good indie wrestling company is to sort of deliver these matches that you can't really see anywhere else. And I think it's really important for Dragon Gate to really promote this match and to really get it, really emphasize just how special it is that this former WWE star is going to wrestle Akira Tozawa. And I think for DGUSA, I think it's really crucial that the Young Bucks have a good year, because I think Evolve and Dragon Gate USA's tag team division, just like so many tag team divisions, it seems like are really struggling. So I think the Young Bucks can provide a lot of balance to that. I think they mesh well with the talent, and them as heels is golden. And, you know, even if DGUSA doesn't have a lot of angles or storylines, the Young Bucks are going to be able to get themselves over as heels, because they do it so well in every other company they work for. And I think it's a real coup for them to be able to sort of be a part of the company next year. And I'm hoping for good things for Evolve and DGUSA, but I think sort of what Matt, you know, Matt, I'm not going to say it sounds like he's apathetic, but, you know, I think it's sort of representative of what the problem with Dragon Gate USA and Evolve is that when he hears good things, he watches, but, you know, overall he's not engaged in the product. And I think if Dragon Gate USA and Evolve, the WWN universe, as I like to call it, and some other people, you know, I think it's important to make us care about these shows and to make us say, I want to watch the next one right now. And if they do that, it's going to be a good year. The problem is they really haven't done it, you know, the last couple of years.
Well, that, you know, can't argue with that. And we're going to use that phrase, the WWN universe. Last bit of news on them. Shine returns to IPPU this Friday from Ybor City, featuring Amazing Kong, Karma, Awesome Kong versus Mercedes Martinez, Jessica Havoc versus Revy Sky, Leva Bates versus Kimberly, Allison Kay and TaylorMade versus Christina Von Erie and Mischief. And also appearing are Daphne, Rain, Nikki Rocks, Mia Yim, Sue Young, Santana, Ivelisse, Tina, San Antonio, Kimberly, and Leah Von Dutch. And we're pretty excited for that. Hopefully we'll have a report up on the website. And if you can, if you're thinking of ordering this, order it through the link provided in the information for this podcast. All right, I want to move on to National Pro Wrestling Day news as well. Of course, this is a big event, February 2nd. Just want to put out there, PW Insider, they are presenting two Rey de Voladores matches on that night. The first one completely is announced, and we covered it on PWP on the website. It's actually stickied on the near the top of the website. So if you go to pwponderings.com, you'll see the National Pro Wrestling and all the news that we put up there just updated. Oh, and it seems daily at this point. The first four-way Rey de Voladores, it's going to feature the former ECW World TV Champion Too Cold Scorpio versus Jojo Bravo of Texas Anarchy Championship Wrestling versus Oliver Grimsley of Quest Wrestling from Florida, and then Shane Hollister of AAW in Chicago. The second four-way competitors, they're going to be announced later on, and of course you can follow us for that. The two winners are going to face each other and become the 2013 Rey de Voladores champion. Of course, all the other matches announced that day, you can find that in the article, and that will be provided for in the information. Guys, I just kind of want to get your short thoughts on overall. Jerome, National Pro Wrestling Day, I know that it's not something that you've really blogged about a whole lot, but it is going to be a big day for us. I think it's going to be a lot of information. I know you were the first one to tell me that you were pretty excited that AEW would at least be involved in it. So it's something that I know that even if you're not particularly wanting to express an opinion on, you know, seeing a guy representing AEW, that's got to be exciting for you. So do you have any ideas or not any ideas, but do you have any thoughts on Shane Hollister's involvement? You know, do you think he can mesh well in that type of match?
Well, you know what? I think it's good for Shane Hollister. It's a great opportunity for him to go to the East Coast. I'm really excited that he's going to be making his CZW debut on what it appears to be a really terrible CZW card, actually. So we'll ignore that and just talk about the fact that he's making his debut, and then he's going to National Pro Wrestling Day in 3 weeks. Shane Hollister is a guy that I really like, and I really want to see him get more opportunities on the East Coast. And regardless of my feelings on NPWD, I'm really happy for Hollister, and I hope he has a lot of success. I seriously doubt he's going to win the match, though. I actually have a hunch as to who I think is going to win this whole tournament, but I don't want to spoil anything, and I don't want to give any predictions without full knowledge. We've broken enough news on the show.
Yeah, of course. And that's why that's the only reason why I went to you, is just because you know, if anyone on this podcast right now knows more about Shane Hollister, it's you. So, Matt,
yeah, it's going to be interesting. It'll be interesting. Yeah. So good for him.
Hey, exactly. Matt, you're close to National Pro Wrestling Day. Are you going?
I have a goal too. That's for sure. I don't think anybody who's a huge wrestling fan shouldn't have a goal.
Well, that's good, Matt. I mean, just because you seem kind of down about some of our previous topics, I just wanted to make sure. So you're going to be making the trek. What are some of the things that you're looking forward to?
Oh, well, I just think the entire concept is really good, obviously, for wrestling in general and just for the wrestling fan, especially nowadays. There's a lot of sour, I guess, yeah, there's a lot of sour people out there on the industry, and things just haven't felt the same for a long time, and this is a whole new thing coming together, and it's exciting. It's an exciting time, and for me personally, I can't follow 20, 30 promotions. I just can't do it. And there's not a lot of people who can. And I think that's going to be great for all these companies to come together. And there's no doubt in my mind that somebody like me will stumble across a couple new promotions or a couple new wrestlers or, you know, stuff like that, and come away with something from National Pro Wrestling Day, and come away with new perspectives even, and just a new outlook on what's around. And there's going to be a lot of people looking at it like that. And that's the glory behind something like this. So yeah, I just anybody who would have the opportunity to attend at something like this should just be looking forward to what it has to offer, because it's obviously a one-time deal here. Who knows if it happens again, but it's the first time it's ever happened, is what I'm saying. So it's definitely something to look forward to.
Well, thanks, Matt. You made me feel better knowing that I can't go. That's
okay. And to be fair, Matt, if you combine the Wrestling Is franchise, that's only like 16 promotions. So just think of it that way, and it's less intimidating.
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's the – I shouldn't say the problem these days, but because it's not – it shouldn't be a problem. Everybody who's a fan of anything just should want more of it.
We're getting more.
Fall in love with certain, exactly.
We're getting a lot more.
Yeah, when people fall in love with certain things, they tend to just stick to them rather than exploring all over the place. So that's basically what's happened with me over the years, I guess.
Well, something that fans can explore, and this is just a little bit of news, Destination One Pro Wrestling is making their iPay-per-view debut. We're going to have one of their founders on later this month for an exclusive podcast. Going to be a lot of fun. This is out of the Charleston Civic Center for their first show of 2013. It's going to be an iPay-per-view shown on highspots.tv. Tickets right now, adults are $8, kids are $3, or two for $5. So it should be a lot of fun. You can check that out. We're going to provide the Facebook event page information in the information for the site. They are having, quite a few stars coming on. They're going to see Kimberly, Dave Crist, Jake Crist, and Sammy Callahan are all announced for the show. More details will be explained in the next podcast that we have with them.
Saying is Oink is going to be there, so that's very exciting.
Actually, sure, yes. And as well as...
It's actually OI4K, but you can't look at it and not think Oink.
Exactly. And also, Guar's Odorous Orungus is going to be there, so that's special. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun, especially for the fans that are there live. Just something that we wanted to highlight and bring attention to. Now, as you mentioned, Jerome, Shane Hollister making his debut for CZW. That happens January 12th, the Flyers Skate Zone in Voorhees, New Jersey. So I just wanted to give some information on that as well, as they are one of the sponsors of PWP, and we really appreciate that. So the CZW World Heavyweight Title Champion, Masada, he's issuing an open challenge, and he's made it clear he wants Joe Gacy one-on-one, and that's, payback for the Cage of Death 14 event. Of course, Danny Havoc and Devon Moore, they'll be defending their belts, the CZW Tag Team titles, against two members of the Campaign for a Better Combat Zone. So looking forward to that. I mean, it's just something that seems to be indicative of itself. It's almost a parody that there are wrestlers within CZW that want a better CZW. So there they go. Wired TV champion A.R. Fox defending his belt against one-third of the current CZW Tag Team Champions Lucky 13. Four Locos' Alex Colon will square off against the 2013 Jeff Peterson Cup winner Shane Strickland. A WSU attraction match. Jesse Brooks with Sammy Gildelno. I'm so butchering that name. That's fine. Going up against Isabel Suena. And then a Beyond Wrestling Showcase, a tag team match, the KOA, Sugar Dunkerton and Aaron Epic, favorites of the website, going up against the front of Eric Corvus and Nicholas Kay. And then, of course, Shane Hollister making his debut. He's going to take on Fight Club Pros' Chris Brooks. So, of course, for all information, go to czwrestling.com for all that. We hope you guys check that out. Small tidbit out of Canada, Michael Elgin announced that in February 22nd, the Battle Arts promotion is coming back, and the main event will now be a four-way to crown the first Battle Arts Canadian champion. So that's a lot of fun. So now we're into the two big parts of the newscast I wanted to get to. We're going to be live tweeting events Friday and Saturday. Friday, we're going to be doing PWX. It's their big show of 2013, following up on their last event where the Dojo Bros made a debut. Now, if you don't know what that is, you really got to go up on YouTube and look that up. It is the PWX champion of Adam Cole and the PWX tag champions of Roderick Strong and Eddie Edwards. They are known as the Dojo Bros. They are, in my book, some of the most entertaining vignettes that I think I've seen of all three of them in quite some time. That's not necessarily a knock, but it is what it is. They're going up against Caleb Conley, Grizzly Redwood, and Jake Manning. Also, Cedric Alexander is going up against Adam Page, Chiva Kid against Corey Hollis, and then there's a lot more names to be announced. We will be live tweeting that as well. So it should be a lot of fun. That's going to happen Friday. on the 11th. And then, okay, guys, we're on to the promotion that I know I've been talking a while, but this is a promotion that I think both of you can talk about. PWG, DDT4, January 12th. We will be live tweeting results. Of course, given the information that we just broke, it's not surprising that earlier, and I'm not saying it's related, but earlier El Generico had to pull out. So the first round tag matches announced. The Briscoes will be facing Willie Mack and Kevin Steen. The Dojo Bros of Eddie Edwards and Roderick Strong going to face Future Shock of Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. The Inner City Machine Guns of Ricochet and Rich Swann are going up against the Young Bucks. And the Unbreakable Effing Machines, yes, I'm not going to say the word, Brian Cage and Michael Elgin going to go up against the Super Smash Brothers. So, Matt, I'm going to go to you first. Do you follow PWG? And if you do, are you excited for this DDT4?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The blow away, obviously. I mean, what more can you say about PWG these days? If you've been watching the last year or two, every show is a recommendation, and every single thing they do seems to be gold. And even though the generic on Steam thing was going to be great to see again, and then based on the news, Willie Mack was a fine replacement, and the rest of those teams sound great. And one of the best things about PWG is, there's not a lot of complexity that goes into or needs to go into that promotion as a whole, whether it be booking or just, everything like that. And it's so simple, but yet they're able to put on these shows that every single fan has to talk about and can't turn away from. But yet, do you know what I'm saying? Like, they're just a promotion that seems so simple, but yet they're able to create something that's just, I guess, complex, because nobody else can do what they're doing these days, just strictly off of in-ring performance, which is mind-blowing. So if you're not a fan, then you probably haven't seen any of it at this point. The card looks great. DDT4 tournaments are always great. And, it's something I'll be definitely looking forward to checking out.
Well, thankfully, I know you follow us on Twitter, so you can find the results there, twitter.com/PWPonderings. Jerome, you've said very good things about PWG in the past. This is a good show. I don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about. Exactly. I need to know where I can read about my own words.
You do. You need. So let people know where they can read your own words. And what are your thoughts on DDT4?
I was telling you to do it. I was, what's the word I'm looking for? I was delegating responsibility.
I was going to say abuse of power, but that's just me. Yes. Anyway, Jerome, your thoughts on DDT4?
DDT4 is always one of my favorite shows of the year. This year will prove to be no exception. So many great teams. Going to be just a lot of fun. I mean, I think, it almost goes without saying that PWG's in-ring product is the best in North America. I really believe that. And, it's amazing that you could even take El Generico off of this card, and it still looks like it's going to be really great. It's sad that Steen and Generico are not going to be a team, but, I think Willie Mack really deserves this opportunity. So I'm really happy for him that he's going to be with Steen, and we'll see what happens. I'm a fan of the Dojo Bros, so I'm kind of hoping that Strong and Edwards pull out the victory. But we'll see. I think it's going to be really fun. I mean, I think this tournament, you got eight really, really great teams. And, Elgin and Cage together is going to be fun. I have this vision in my head of this double suplexes over the apron. To a nice pop, so that's gonna be fun, and Swan and Ricochet, what a great team they are. I don't think people give Swan the credit that he deserves, but I think he's been really outstanding in the PWG stuff that I've seen him in. So yeah, I mean it's PWG. If you live in California, you should go. So it's pretty simple. If I lived in California, if I lived within 4 hours drive, if I could get my car to work, I would
absolutely. Absolutely.
Go ahead, Chris.
Oh, I was going to say, Jerome, I feel like that's a subtle knock at me, but luckily I don't live within 4 hours. So, anyway.
Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it wasn't. I'll never tell.
Exactly. I've driven 10 to Final Battle. I would drive that long PWG every month.
It took us like 12.
But... Well, Matt, that's just lovely. That's good for you. I'd be remiss if I didn't point out the one match that they did put out there. It is a knockout or submission match only. Sami Callihan against Drake Younger. And I guess there's going to be a 3-series with a winner of the series of matches earning a shot at the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla World Championship. So that's... Sounds like it's going to be interesting. I cannot give any names of that because it almost feels like every name on the roster is involved in the DDT4 tournament. So, crazy. But we will be live tweeting, so we'll let you know and follow that. Guys, I know this has been kind of an irregular podcast. Lots of news crammed into this. Why don't we let some of the people kind of digest it? So, Matt, I'm going to go to you first. Matt, thank you for being on the podcast. We'll definitely have you back on. I know that you were looking forward to talk with Dez, and Dez, unfortunately, you know, he had other plans that kind of took him away from
this.
Yeah,
you got stuck with me. Sorry about that, Matt.
No problem. I'll live for now.
Exactly. But, Matt, where can people find you online, your Twitter, your Facebook, whatever it is you do, let people know.
Yeah, my Twitter is the Ole Matt, like Generico Zole. So, V and then OLEMATT. You want to follow me on Twitter? And, rather than plugging the amazing site that these guys work for, I'll let them do that themselves. And, I have some work up at where Des's main office is at thingsdesdoes.net. And if you want to check out couple pieces of writing, you can do that. Also, Wrestling's Last Hope, I just tossed them two pieces of writing in the last month or so. So if you just want to go see what those are about, I believe, can't even remember, I think it's Final Battle stuff and some recent CZW stuff, I guess. So that's that. But yeah, thanks for having me on, and I look forward to hopefully making a return sometime. So I appreciate it.
Well, you definitely will. And another guy who will probably make a return is Jerome. He is our senior editor. Jerome, let people know what you're doing this week.
Well, this week you can read my AAW and Ring of Honor year in reviews. Boy, I'm starting out hot and heavy with Ring of Honor. Then next week is Chikara and Dragon Gate USA / Evolve. And then PWG and AEW. So I'm doing year in reviews for all of those companies. Talking extensively, the good, the bad, some bold predictions. So go to the website and read all of that. I mean, this is big time content, sort of looking at the year in review. Had to do a little bit of editing thanks to the breaking news at the beginning of the podcast, but it's all good. I mean, I'm really excited for people to see what I have to say about all the promotions. I think the one I'm most proud of is Ring of Honor. I think I really – was happy with the way that I was sort of able to get a lot of things out there. You know, I think there were definitely some positives, but there were a lot of negatives too. And hopefully we could discuss that on a future podcast of Honor as well. Twitter.com/JeromePWPEditor is the place to find me, interact with me. I tweet about wrestling, sports, my hatred of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish football team, and a whole bunch of other things. And Chris likes to do the thank yous and all that stuff, so I'm not gonna steal his thunder. I'm gonna let him go.
Exactly, and it's also because I've just recently found out that you are no longer Simon Diamond's favorite wrestling journalist because of your hatred of the Irish. That's good to know. Anyway,
I love the Irish. Let me tell you, Irish Airborne, Matt Fitchett, these are all wonderful, wonderful men.
Right. Well, not exactly the Irish I was talking about, but good enough. So anyway, thank you for everyone for listening. Tons of stuff. As always, if you're listening to us on iTunes or on Stitcher, leave us a review. We really appreciate it.
I'm sorry, Chris. I need to interrupt you. Kevin Ford will kill me if I don't do this. Please check out his new Tumblr, wrestlingis.tumblr.com. I can only assume he's going to be posting all of the Tumblr stuff, but Kevin puts a lot of work into these websites, so you should go check them out. Chikaraspecial.com. and also the Twitter, the Facebook, and all that stuff. So do that. And also check out our new writer. Sorry to interrupt you, Chris. You can talk about her a little bit, too.
Yes, Pocket Volcano is her Twitter name, spelled exactly the way that sounds, Pocket Volcano. Jennifer Lynn is her name. She recently did her first article. Didn't mean to, but she went to a Crossfire show, and she put out her thoughts. So fun article. Give that a read and give her a follow. Welcome her to the PWP family. As always, though, as I was saying, before I was really interrupted, you can follow us on Twitter for our live tweeting of PWX and PWG this weekend at twitter.com/PWPonderings. You can find us on Facebook looking up Pro Wrestling Ponderings. And, of course, the website, pwponderings.com. Tons of new articles. As Jerome said, he's worked very hard. Lots of year-end stuff. Tons of reviews coming up. Really good stuff. We're hoping to have a lot more in 2013. Thank you again for supporting us. And for Matt and for Jerome, we are signing out.
Olay!